After he leaves Elkhart, Indiana, President Obama will be back in Washington to hold his first primetime news conference. NPR senior Washington editor Ron Elving will be watching, but he's with us first now. And Ron, tell us, why is the president holding this press conference in Monday night primetime?
That's where the people are at this particular moment, Madeline. He'll get the TV viewers. He'll get West Coast commuters. He'll get the morning news shows. You know, there had been talk last week that President Obama was not using enough of his political assets, not using enough of that momentum from his election and inauguration to get behind this economic stimulus package and overcome some of the political obstacles. So that's why he's going to Elkhart. That's why tomorrow he goes on to Fort Myers, Florida. Later this week, Peoria and Springfield, Illinois. There's a big vote in the Senate tomorrow, and he wants to get Republicans on board.
And yet, so he sounds like he's really in campaign mode, but a new Gallup poll shows that he has the support. He has a 67% approval rating on his handling of the stimulus bill. And, well, his party, the Democrats, they have the majority in Congress. And it looks like only three Republican senators will support it in the Senate. None, of course, did in the House. No Republicans in the House. So, Ron, is this the end of bipartisanship even before it began?
No, I don't think that it's the end of at least the president's attempts to have bipartisanship. In the first place, you need it in the Senate because there are not enough Democrats to pass the president's program there. They have 58 votes nominally at this point in the Senate if Senator Kennedy can make it in his health condition. That means they need at least two Republicans, preferably three, four, five, to get over the 60-vote hurdle that stands in the way of any major legislation, to get over budget rules and procedural problems. So that's the first place where you have to have some degree of bipartisanship. But it's a goal worth pursuing for the president down the road on other issues as well, because the country works better when people have oars on both sides of the boat and everybody pulls together.
Well, it is expected to pass the Senate, at least by a squeaker, and then they'll have to reconcile with the House version. So what are the key differences between the two versions?
You can look at it two different ways. You can look at the dollar differences. For example, there's a $40 billion difference between the two bills, the two versions, with respect to how much aid they would give to state governments that are nearing bankruptcy and laying off workers to prevent that. $40 billion difference between what the House would allot to that and the Senate. That's a pretty good-sized chunk. But an even bigger difference comes when the Senate side bill tries to include a patch for the alternative minimum tax, which is a problem that has to be addressed, and they're trying to put it onto this bill. And that would be worth $70 billion. It would keep more money in more people's pockets, and so that could have an arguably stimulative effect. And they have differences, too, over a number of different aids to governments around the country to build schools, to repair schools, things of that nature. But the bigger difference, the key difference, is philosophical. The Republicans are trying to keep more money in private hands through tax cuts, and the Democrats say faster, more efficient, have it spent and have it spent right away. And if that means having it spent by governments to buy vehicles, to replace the worn-out cars in their fleets, or to build these schools, that's a good thing.
Okay. And meanwhile, the Treasury Department tomorrow will unveil its second part of the bank bailout plan. Now, this, of course, does not need congressional approval. So why has it become political?
It's become political because everyone is thinking about that at the same time they're thinking about the economic stimulus package, and it involves that same philosophical difference. You know, banks and the financial system's problems are what brought on this turndown. Their problems with mortgage debt and debt in other forms, and getting the banks back on the side of the solution here is critical, and what the administration is doing is they are having the government intervene and take a controlling, important, crucial pivotal role. That's the philosophical argument.
NPR senior Washington editor Ron Elving. Thank you, Ron.
Thank you, Madeline.